Amen, amen. Clap it up. Let's go, Rock Church. How we doing today? Good morning. Welcome to all of our campuses tuning in and everyone watching online and everyone here with me in the building at Point Loma. We want to say welcome and everyone had a good Christmas. Clap it up if you had a good Christmas. Amen. Let me ask this. How many of you have that one or two lingering gifts still under the tree that you just haven't seen the person yet or you haven't ran into them? Okay, a few hands up there. All right, just be careful with those because those turn into birthday presents next year if you don't find those people. Awesome. Well, my name is Santiago. I'm one of the pastors on the leadership team here, and I have the privilege of bringing the word today. Make sure you come back next Sunday, though, because we're starting a new series. Pastor Miles will be preaching called House of Prayer. And if you're new with us and you haven't been with us in January, every January we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. So the first 3 weeks of the year we set aside for God and we turn the plate over and we make some decisions to kind of remove some things from our lives so that we can draw closer to God. Amen? So if you need some support in that, you're kind of like, I don't really know how to do that, you can visit our website, sdrock.com/fast, or you can text FAST to 52525, and we have a ton of resources on there to help you through this, but we're going to do it together, amen, because the whole point is that we draw near in the new year. Come on, somebody. That's what we're trying to do. So let's pray, and we'll get into the word, amen? Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this year. On this last Sunday of 2025, God, I pray that your words would be spoken here today, Lord. Thank you for the burden of this message. And we pray that we would leave inspired and encouraged to draw near to you. And so, Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Amen. 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 Well, today's message is what I call a burden message. So as I was praying about what God would have me share with you all today, it came from this deep, deep burden that I carry, and God kind of stirred it up again. And so as we look at the ending this year and moving into 2026, I know Pastor Ty was talking about resolutions, but I'm talking about a revelation. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all want to have a New Year's revelation? Resolutions are great, and they're helpful, but I'm talking about a New Year's revelation. And the burden that I have is really that we would all, as children of God, fully surrender to God's calling on our life. And that's really just a key for us as believers if we're ever going to experience all that God has for us to do. How many of you know that you can go to heaven and still leave some things on the table down here? How many of you know that you can be saved and still not fulfill all that God has called you to do here on earth? See, the answer to closing that gap of fulfilling everything that God has for us is surrender. But surrender, and I'm talking about full surrender, comes at a price. It's the highest price we'll ever have to pay for something, but it's absolutely worth it if we're going to fully surrender our lives to God to experience the fullness of what he has for us. So I'm here to encourage us today, to inspire some of us today to make a decision to go all in for God and fully surrender our lives to him, that he would have his way with us. Can I get an amen? We don't want to go into 2026 with the same old expectations and the same old casual connection with God. We want to decide today to go all in. Now, there's this popular phrase that many of you might have heard that's mostly associated with military conquest, and I've heard that it was dated back to the Romans, but it was really made popular by the Spanish conquistadors, in particular in their pursuit of territory in Mexico. And the phrase is used with regard to making a full commitment to a chosen path with no opportunity for retreat. It's also the title of the message today, and that is Burn the Ships. It's time for many of us to burn the ships and to go all in for God. See, burning the ships means to abandon any idea of going back to what was before. If you look at the picture on the screen, you see this ship on fire. And imagine if that was your ship. That's the ship that you arrived on. And we're going into battle, but the leader's saying, no, 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 there's no going back. We're fully committed to the task at hand. And if we're going to fully walk in God's calling on our lives, it's time for us to burn the ships. We can't. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's good. We can't waver with God's calling. We can't be on one side one day and on the other side the next. My son Ezra said it best as I was writing this message. He was helping me and he was with me as I was practicing. And he said to say this, leave your old life behind you and step into God's calling. So if you're taking notes, here's the big idea or the main point. God's call demands a full surrender. It's time to burn the ships. Amen? So we see this theme in our anchor passage today. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 19. You can open there. And we pick up in the story of Elijah the prophet. Now at this time in history, you have King Ahab and Queen Jezebel who have been going throughout the land and killing all of the prophets of God. Now Elijah, who is a prophet himself, is called by God to go show himself to King Ahab. Now if you ask me, I'm kind of like, wait a minute, God. I'm a prophet of God. You want me to go show myself to the king whose wife has been killing the prophets of God? That doesn't make sense to me. That math ain't mathing, right? You want me to go to the place where they're killing the people like me, and that's what you're telling me to do? But how many of you know that when God calls you to something, you can be sure that he'll provide the way? Whatever he's calling you to, you can rest assured that he's going to give you what you need. He's already given it to you, and he'll be with you. Amen? How many of you heard it said, if it's his will, it's his bill? Come on, somebody. God won't call us to something he hasn't already provided for or that he will provide for. And I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about strength. I'm talking about wisdom. I'm talking about divine insight. I'm talking about a peace in the storm. Am I talking to anybody today? That's the God we serve, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. There's somebody at one of the campuses today where you just needed to hear that word right there. The Lord provides. You can rest assured that God will provide. And so we pick up this passage just after Jezebel sent word to Elijah that she's going to kill him. And what did he do? He ran away. But God called him back. So let's pick this up in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 19, and it says this. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and he slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. See, Elisha was all in on day one, and that's how we need to be. It's time to burn the ships. Amen? So our first point from this passage is that God's call is on God's time. We have to understand that God moves at the right moment, not a random moment. God's timing is perfect. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says that there's a time for everything under the sun, and there's a season for every activity under heaven. When we give our lives to Christ, we can no longer operate on our own timeline. We need to be on God's timeline. Amen? It's not about what's convenient for us. We can't pick and choose what we want to do for God based on our schedules or our convenience or what I have time for. No, a full surrender demands that we align ourselves with God's timeline. when I think about my own testimony, I sometimes have asked God in moments of prayer and just contemplation, why did it take so long for me to be saved? Like, why didn't this happen earlier in my life? Maybe I could have done more for you, or maybe I could have had a different trajectory and not gone through some of the things that I had to go through. And, you know, it's not for lack of opportunity, because my mom made sure of that. She took me to church as a kid, and we even went to different events and other churches with my uncle, who was a pastor, and, you know, his family was saved, and I was around it. I remember standing in a service, and my cousin's next to me, and he's kind of nudging me at the altar call moment, like, go up there. And I'm like, no, I'm good. But I asked God, like, what happened, right? Because my mom made sure that I had an opportunity. And as a matter of fact, where's all the moms in the room? Can you wave your hand, moms? Can we clap it up for the moms in the building? Man, if there's ever a calling from God, it's to be a mom, amen? And real quick, where's all the moms who saved the stuff from your kids? Like, you've saved, you know, all kinds of clothes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Listen, my mom saved everything. She saved my first tooth that fell out. She got a lock of hair in there somewhere from my first haircut. She got old t-shirts from like 1982, three. I'm like, what is going on? But one thing she saved that she handed down to me when I had kids was three huge tubs of books. These were the kids' books that I grew up with. So you got Goosebumps in there. You got Disney books. You got Highlight magazines. Remember those? Who remembers the Highlight magazines? I'm talking to a generation there. But so when I got this tub of books, I'm going through it with my wife, and, you know, we're figuring out what we're going to pull out for our kids. And there was one book that stuck out, because I'm like, where did that come from? And it was this book, 21 Jump Start by Pastor Miles McPherson. And I was like, where did that come from? And inside the book was this, a pamphlet from Miles Ahead Crusade. And I looked at it and I said, I called my mom. I said, Mom, where did this come from? And she goes, oh, yeah, we went to the crusade at the sports arena with your cousins, and you were there. And I'm like, well, what happened? Did I get saved? Did I go up there? Like, we could have been done this a long time ago. And she's like, I don't really remember. And so I don't know what happened, but here's what I do know. I know that God's plan for my life is perfect, and it's on his timeline, not my own. And so while I might think it could have been better if I got saved earlier, what I know is that I'm walking in God's plan for my life right now, and I may not be here today. Come on. I may not be here today if I had chosen my own version of that plan. And the same is true for every one of you. God has a perfect plan for your life. God has a kingdom purpose for you to do, and what's required to find that out is full surrender. Now, maybe you're here and you've been praying for something, you've been pressing in, you feel like there's a part of your life that God is calling you to that hasn't come to pass yet. So I just want to encourage you to keep praying, keep believing. Delayed does not mean denied. And if it is part of God's plan for your life, it will come to pass, but it's on his timing, not yours. So keep being patient, keep praying, keep pressing in, amen? Now we see God's timing play out in the life of Elisha in our passage today. So let's look back at our verse, 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, and he threw his cloak around him. So what we see from this passage is Elisha, he was just doing his thing. He was plowing in the fields. He was working. He was doing what he was supposed to do at that time. And then God called him in the midst of that. So first, scripture tells us that Elisha was in the field with 12 yoke of oxen. Now, if we dig into that a little bit, we'd realize that 12 yoke of oxen back then was a big deal. That was a sign that Elisha's family likely had significant wealth. They had a huge family business, if you will. And so what we can assume is, you know, Elisha was part of the family business, right? The second thing that we want to pull from this is the timing of God's calling on Elisha's life was based on what God was doing, not what Elisha was doing. Elisha was just doing his thing. He was working in the field. He was building the family business. He's probably looking forward to a great inheritance. Maybe one day he could take over from his father as the CEO of the company. We could assume, like many of us probably would in that situation, that, you know, he probably had a lot to look forward to. He was making plans of, you know, one day being at the helm of that family business and having a great future. But God called him to a greater calling, a calling that would require his full surrender on God's timing, not his own. Elisha couldn't say, well, let me just make sure I get the business situated first, and then I'll come follow you. Elisha had to burn the ships. So what does that mean for us? It means that God's call is on God's time, and we have to surrender to that. We have to be patient with that, because God's calling is the greatest calling that we'll ever have the privilege to be a part of. It's bigger than any business deal that we could be a part of, although God might be calling some of us to a business deal as part of his plan for our life. It's bigger than any kind of education we can attain, although God is calling some of us to education as part of his plan for our life. The point I'm trying to make is that whatever God calls us to, it will be on his time, not our own. And if we're not patient, we could end up like King Saul, who in preparation for battle was waiting for the prophet Samuel to come and make a sacrifice so that they could inquire of God on what to do in the battle. But Saul was growing impatient. He was feeling pressure from his troops to move, and the 7 days had already passed and Samuel wasn't there, so Saul went on his own and said, I'll just go ahead and make this sacrifice. And he did what he wasn't supposed to do, because only the prophets and the priests were to make sacrifices to God. And it cost him ultimately the kingdom. The Bible tells us that that was the start of the removal of the kingdom from Saul. We can't be like Saul. We have to wait on God's timing, amen? The second point from this text is that God's call is for God's plan. The calling that God has on each and every one of our lives isn't necessarily for us. It's for him. It's for what he wants to do on the earth. Experiencing the fullness of God's calling requires that we align ourselves with God's divine plan and his kingdom purpose for our life. This is the difference between a Christ-centered lifestyle and a self-centered lifestyle. It's not what God can do for me, but what can I do for God? Amen? It's not about us. And sometimes in our self-preservation and our self-centered nature, we tend to come to God and ask for things for us instead of us going to God and saying, what can I do for you? How do you want to use me? And we see this in our passage today. If we go back a few verses from the passage we've been studying, we see God instructing Elijah to go and call Elisha, because it was God's plan that Elisha would become the next prophet. And so if we look at this, 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 15, it says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. See, it was God's plan for Elisha to become the prophet, not Elisha's plan. This was the divine kingdom purpose that Elisha had over his life that probably looked very different than what he wanted to do. Remember, he's part of this thriving family business and he's probably living a good life, but God had a different plan for him. Think about this. We know that God's plan is eternal, and that it's already been written from the beginning of time. So for Elisha's entire life, God knew that he would call him at the time that he called him. And the same is true for us. From before we were born, God already knew the plans that he had for each and every one of us here. He knew what he would call us to, and he knew when he would call us. Can I get an amen from somebody who's thankful that God has called us to his purpose? Come on. God is calling us to do something for him that's greater than anything else we could ever do in our own life, but to serve God and to be chosen before the foundations of the earth. Man, that's precious. And so it's time for us to align ourselves with God's plan and stop doing things for our own selfish gain. The Bible tells us that when we're born again, that all things have become new and the old has passed away. So we have to understand that when that happens, we're aligned now with God in heaven, and God is doing something with us and through us. The moment we place our faith in Jesus, we become a new creation. When we get saved, we can't stay the same. We have to change, we have to align, and we have to follow God. Understanding God's plan for our lives and what he calls us to is not really about us, but about what he's doing in the earth. And that concept is something we really have to grasp if we're going to step fully into God's calling for us. Part of my testimony is, and I've shared this before, that I used to be an alcoholic, and I was that guy. I was the party guy. And so what I love about that part of my testimony is that when God spoke to me and said, hey, I want you to stop drinking, I want you to leave that part of your life behind, I want you to burn that ship, it was God speaking to me, not somebody else. I didn't have a brother come up to me and say, hey, brother, you better stop drinking now that you're a Christian. You got to look a certain way. No, it was God speaking to the stillness of my heart. And so one of the very, hey, come on, you can clap for that. That's good. Praise God. And one of the first moments I can remember that and recall it so profoundly is we were getting ready to go to a wedding, my wife's family, and the Lord very clearly I just knew, I'm like, I'm not drinking at this wedding. And that was a new thing for me, like, especially at a wedding, a party like that, like, I was that guy. And so I committed, I said, Lord, I'm going to do this. And so I went to the wedding, and I didn't have anything to drink, and I'm walking around the wedding, holding like a Coke or like a water or something. And I'm sitting there, and I start talking to one of my wife's cousins. Long story short, an hour or so later, we're in the back patio at this wedding, leading him and his wife to the Lord. You can clap. That's good news, right? But here's the best part. The best part is, it wasn't even about me. It wasn't really about me not drinking anymore. That was part of it, but the bigger plan of that night was God's plan for their life. That was their moment of salvation. And God was looking for me to be the vessel to do it. So here's what I want to encourage you with. If we want to walk in God's calling for our lives, we have to know that it's his plans, not our own. Now, I go back to that story, and I'm thankful, and I still get a benefit because I've been sober for over 10 years now. And I want to take a minute and just, I want to speak to somebody who may be dealing with that. And I want to tell you that if God will do it for me, he'll do it for you. But it requires a full surrender. Those moments where you sense the presence of God telling you not to do this, telling you not to go to this place, telling you not to be around that person. The only answer in those moments, if you want to experience the fullness of what God has for you, is surrender. It's to say, yes, Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I won't go over there. I won't talk to this person anymore. I won't go to this place. That's what it takes. And he'll do it for you. Amen? Come on, let's clap it up. Come on. Sometimes God is going to ask us to do things that will require a sacrifice on our part, that will require us to step out of our comfort zone and do something we don't normally do or that we're not used to doing. That could be a number of different things. It might be our time. God is calling some of us to serve, to help grow the body of Christ. We have a goal this year of over 800 new team members going into 2026. That's how many people we need to step up and start serving so that we can make sure Rock Kids classrooms aren't closed on some days, so that we can make sure we have people who are getting rest that are part of the team already. As a matter of fact, all of our team members, if you're a team member in the room, Can I just have you stand real quick? We just want to thank you. If you serve on our team, stand up. If you're in the room, any one of our campuses, stand up. Let's give it up for our team members. Come on, somebody. Our volunteer team members. We love y'all. We're so thankful. We couldn't do this without you. But here's the call. Here's the challenge. We need more. We need more people to step up and say, I'm going to serve God with my time. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's your comfort. And God is saying, hey, you know that person at your job who you know is going through a tough time? God wants you to pray for them. God wants you to share the gospel. He wants you to share your story with them. He wants you to invite them to church. That's going to press you out of your comfort zone. It might be your schedule. It might be your sleep. God wants to speak to you early in the morning. That means you got to get up before you've been getting up so you can spend time with God so you can hear his voice. But whatever God is calling you to do, remember, it's not really for you. It's for him, right? God wants to spend time with you so that you're ready later in the day when you're going to come across this person who does need prayer or who's ready to give their life to the Lord. And now you're pumped up in the spirit that you're ready to answer that call. Amen? Our third point is this, that God's call demands a full surrender. We'll never experience the fullness of God's calling on our lives short of fully surrendering to him. And I mean every area, right? Scripture tells us that an extreme example of this is when we see people in the Bible who changed their name. They changed their whole identity, right? Jacob became Israel. Saul became Paul. This is a full surrender. It's a 180-degree turn to, I'm going this way. This is my old life. I'm going this way. I'm burning this ship. Have you ever prayed, Lord, have your way with me? How many of y'all prayed that before? How many of y'all pray that on a daily? Come on, somebody. I'll tell you, that's a dangerous prayer. That's a dangerous prayer. You better be ready to answer the call if you pray that. Why? Because God is looking for people like that who are saying, yes, Lord, have your way with me. Use me however you want to use me. I'm here for it. Even Jesus prayed this in his own despair in the Garden of Gethsemane as he's contemplating and feeling the pressure of his impending crucifixion, the weight of the wrath of God that was to come. What was his prayer? He said, Lord, your will, not my own. Your will be done, not my own. Not what I think, not what I want, not what I think we should do, what you want to do, Lord. That's what I want to do. This is where we burn the ships. This is where we decide that there's no going back to this old life or this old way. There's only the cross before us. Amen? Now, we see this in this last part of our passage where Elisha decided to burn the ships. 1 Kings 19, verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Imagine if Elisha hadn't burned the plow equipment. Imagine if he put it aside in a little shed and said, hey, I'm just going to leave this here in case this whole prophet thing doesn't work out. I got a backup plan. No, he didn't do that. Imagine if Paul, who was Saul, said, I don't want to give up being a Pharisee because, man, I've worked my whole life for this. My whole life has been to get to this point where I'm respected and I'm a leader in the synagogue and I'm part of the Sanhedrin and I've worked so hard for this. But I want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to give this up. So I'm going to stay as a Pharisee, but I'm going to follow Jesus in secret at night. Imagine if the apostles told Jesus when he called them to follow him, yeah, you know, Jesus, I can't really follow you like that. I mean, I can't leave everything. I got to put food on the table. I got this fishing business. I got boats. You know, what am I supposed to do? So I'll come hang out with you for a little bit, but then I gotta go to work. I got to do my thing. Imagine if all those things had happened that way, we wouldn't have what we have today. Imagine if they didn't burn the ships. But today, God is calling up some of us to burn ships. And I'm not talking about literal ships. I'm talking about ships that we've built up in our own hearts, in our own lives. Some of us, he's calling us to burn the ship of casual Christianity. Some of us who come on Sunday and Monday through Saturday is a whole different story. Some of us, he's calling to burn the ship of straddling the fence. I'm on both sides. One day here, one day there. One day here, one day there. And God's saying, nah, you need to burn that fence. Pick a side. One of the most powerful verses that I've ever heard, Joshua 24:15, right? That whole discourse in 14 and 15. Choose this day whom you will serve. If you're, and this is Joshua speaking to the Israelites as they get ready to go into the promised land. He's saying, no, look, you need to choose who you're going to serve. You either going to serve the gods of your fathers from way over there, or you're going to serve the true God. But you can't be in the middle. Pick one. And then he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what does it look like for us to fully surrender? How do we know what God is calling us to do? You got to get in his presence. You have to seek him. The more that we pray, the more that we read the word, the more that we seek, ask, and knock, as scripture tells us, the more that we're intentional with communing with God, that's where he reveals it. And it's not always this loud voice from a megaphone. Like, I never get that, like, Santiago, this is what I want you to do. I don't get that. I don't get the flashing light saying, go here. I get in his presence and I get a sense. I get a peace from God. And I know, okay, this feels right. This is what God wants me to do. And sometimes I get in that place and I go, there's something, I don't know. There's no grace cloud over that. We talk about on our staff sometimes, the grace cloud. You want to be under that grace cloud. Wherever God has graced you to be, that's where you want to be. Because if you're outside of it, you're just exposed. You're exposed. So here's what we know. There's three things. God's call is on God's time. God's call is for God's plan, and God's call demands a full surrender to him. Jesus Christ must be the Lord of all, or else he's not Lord at all. Either Jesus Christ is the Lord of all in your life, or he's not Lord at all. He can't be both. He can't be Lord sometimes and not all the time. The sad part is many believers know Jesus as Savior. He saved you. He saved us. But we don't know him as Lord because we haven't surrendered to him. It's time to burn the ships. It's time to abandon any opportunity for retreat back to the old life, back to the old ways. It's time to burn the ships. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to give everyone here an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And maybe you've prayed this before, but you know you're not all in. This is the time. As we go into 2026, we can't waver on the fence. This world is getting crazy. It's getting crazier by the day. And we need people who are all in for God, who are ready to burn the ships. Amen? So let's, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to pray and surrender your life to God, this is your time. Just repeat this prayer in the privacy of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've wavered back and forth and I haven't gone all in. I admit that there's still ships sitting in the dock that I look at from time to time and I think about and I start to walk towards every once in a while. But I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you were crucified and that you were buried and that you rose 3 days later, defeating death and proving that you're the Son of God and proving that there is life after death. And I confess now, Jesus, that you are the Lord of my life, that you are my Savior. And I ask that, Holy Spirit, you come into my heart, change my ways, change my mind. I declare the mind of Christ right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you're calling me to something greater than than anything I could ever imagine. And I say yes to that. And I surrender it all now. I prophetically lay down my life at the altar and say, Lord, have your way with me. Now, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand on the count of three. I'm going to ask you to stand and declare in front of the presence of all these people at every campus in Oahu. And if you're online, throw something in the chat. Do what you got to do. But this is a declaration that I'm choosing today to burn the ships and go all in for God. So on the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to stand to your feet on the count of three. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. Come on. Stand to your feet if that's you. That's you. I see you, brother. Amen. 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 Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, come on. Now, I'm going to ask those of you that are standing to come forward because we want to pray for you. We want to connect with you. Come on, let's clap it up as they come forward, church. Come on. Come on. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap it up, church. It's the biggest moment right here. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. This is what it's all about right here. Amen, brother. God bless you, man. Hey, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. Amen. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to take a minute just to speak to the people at the front of stage. I was right there 11 years ago. And it's one thing that I know, if you surrender your life to God and you get in community, get around some people from our church, from any church really, but just someone who can help show you what it looks like to live the kingdom life, God will change your life. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. I promise you that. But you can't leave this altar today and go back to doing things the same way. And so you need to get in community. You need to get around some people who are going to teach you and show you and model for you and pray for you and point you back to Jesus when you start to go this way, because the enemy is going to come after you. He doesn't want you to have the life that Jesus died for you to have. Amen? So please, 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 I can't tell you enough, get connected. And for anyone else in the room, you got to get connected. If you want something to change, you got to do something to make it change. Amen? And we're here to help you. That's what we're here for. So, Lord, I bless this service. I thank you for all the people up here, Lord. I thank you for the transformed lives. I thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. And may we go into 2026 with no ships behind us, only the cross in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.